Joy to the world, we sang. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. Let every heart prepare him room. So, Jesus came to Denver Friday. Now what are you going to do with them? The feast is over, the dishes are washed, I hope. The gifts are open, the wrapping paper's in the trash, but look, it's still Christmastide. I don't know who or what Jesus is to you. Is he your God, your friend, your teacher? Your Savior. He's lots of different things to different people, and he's different things to the same people at different times. Well, Scripture tells us he was a tecton. That's a Greek word, tecton. That could be a carpenter, a stone worker. It's a builder. It makes me think of a makeover contractor. Some of you have had makeover experiences, right? So I have a suggestion. Whatever else Jesus is to you, invite him in. Have him redo your interior. Have him in, like that picture over there. That door is your heart. He's knocking. But instead of those robes, I ask you to picture him in overalls or maybe painter pants. And instead of that staff, he's carrying a toolbox. And the toolbox is full of his teachings about the way to live worshipfully and lovingly. Have him make a guest room where he can stay year-round. Have him smash through your dark walls of resistance and confusion and despair and make a nice big picture window.
Break forth, O beauteous heavenly light, and usher in the morning.
We need a lot of good lighting in our interior so we can see better what needs to be done and what our strengths are to help us get it done, and so we can see the beauty in our fellow human beings and the rest of creation. While he's in there, let's have him make a nice built-in workshop where we can forge our resolutions and good intentions into reality. A built-in altar where we can go to offer up our struggles to God and offer up our praise and thanksgiving.
You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit.
The adult Sunday school class had a short study on making a home altar. Oh, it must have been a couple of years ago now. We looked at altars in other regions, and in the history of our own faith tradition, we found them on mountaintops and on cliffs and in bogs and in underground kivas and volcanoes. We found altars in trees and lakes and storefronts and temples and caves. Caves and temples where one starts as an outsider and moves inward and inward to the inner sanctum. Isn't it interesting that Paul said we are temples? The acceptable accoutrements included some things you would expect, like the hypocaust, that's a raised up place for the holocaust, and that's the flame for transforming the sacrifice into a form that's usable by the god. Also, there were fine fabrics and expensive dyes and precious gems, woods, and metals. There were bells and incense and rare oils and clean water. I think we have some of that right there. Something for every sense. Kingdoms spent huge portion of their national budgets on furnishing their altars. And merchant states like the Nabataeans and the Carthaginians became fabulously wealthy providing those furnishings. And then, of course, there was the sacrifice itself, the victima. What was okay? Starting with flowers and food.
Speak to the Israelites and say to them, after you come into the land into which I am bringing you, whenever you eat of the bread of the land, you shall present a donation to the Lord. From your first batch of dough, you shall present a loaf as a donation. You shall present it just as you present a donation from the threshing floor. Throughout your generations, you shall give to the Lord a donation from the first batch of your dough.
So starting with flowers and food and going on up through time to animals and people, even children. And then money when it was invented. Whatever it was should be our first and our best. The reasons for making these gifts were a fairly short list. There was praise and thanksgiving. That is a glorifying devotional. There was God grant me a wish or prevent a disaster. There was forgive a sin and get right with God and the community. And of course, general well-being.
I'll live my life to thank you, Lord, for the good things that you bring. And we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy.
Then about 2,500 years ago, we start hearing more abstract language.
For I desire a steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings.
Let me tell you, Jesus knew his scriptures. He knew those words. He taught over and over that the spirit, that our intentions matter more than the perfect execution of proper form. Once he said it this way.
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside may become clean.
A rabbinical statement says that prayer, song, Bible study, meditation, your work, your play, your relationships, all of these can be sacrifices of the heart pleasing to God.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my time, the work of my hands, my words, my money, my intellect, myself, and let them be consecrated, Lord, to thee.
In our study, we found that two things seem to be true about altars the world over through all time. They are, first, that the altar is where the veil is thinnest between this world and that other world where God is. And two, that the altar is where change happens. where change happens. The flower withers here, and it blooms there. The meat roasts here, and the smoke and the scent go there to please God or feed God or whatever. The money in that plate goes out to become the fulfillment of needs of all kinds. So what about the altar in our remodeled interior where we invited Jesus in to make our transformation? Can you stand to be that near God all the time? Can you stand to go there and make your sacrifices of the heart at the altar of your heart? That is where you make your decisions and your opinions. That's where your habits and attitudes are formed. What do you do with found money? How do you talk to a stranger on the bus? What do you drive? Do you drive? What do you eat? Can you learn to cheerfully give and serve and be in community with everyone? And to be in conversation with God all the time? Won't that be weird? Try it. See if you can get comfortable with it.
Do you wonder as you watch my face if a wiser one should have had my place? But I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan.
You don't have to think about it all the time. Just live there. You can have an altered state of consciousness. Now, church, now, people of God, I would like you to make the children's motto your motto. In all that I think, in all that I think, in all that I say, in all that I do, may I glorify you, God. Amen.